And open your Bibles tonight, and I'm always glad to say that because I enjoy preaching the Bible, I enjoy reading the Bible, and whether we have many people at church on a Sunday night, like last week, we had a lot of people here. Mr. Janke walked up and took a peek and says, oh no, I don't know if we got enough for everybody. But whether there's a lot of people or a few people, I still enjoy preaching the Bible. And so I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 27, please. Acts chapter 27, what to do in a storm. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul goes on record and he is telling us about a storm that he is in on this ship. And he addresses the people and it's a very interesting Bible study. The message tonight, what to do in a storm. You know, life has a lot of storms. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always easy. Boys, I want you to listen to me now. Look up here. All right? This is important. You can talk later. All right. And I guess the worst storm that I ever noticed in my life, I was a young man, and the first monsoon I ever saw. We were stationed overseas, and I wasn't there but a couple of days, and they said, we're going to have a monsoon. And they start putting sandbags on top of a roof so the roofs won't blow away. But we still had to go out to post in the middle of a monsoon. Can you imagine? Going out there to a post, and you can't see, the wind is blowing so hard, it's raining so hard, and you feel like, if I better tie myself down to a tree or I'm going to be gone in the morning. But if you've ever been in a bad storm, you know how terrifying that it can be when the wind and the rain are really going at it. But, you know, life many times has other kinds of storms. And at times it can be frightening. Sickness is a storm. If you're battling a terrible disease, it really tests your faith. It really tests your mettle. It causes you to really to seek what's important in life and what things are trivial. Not only is bad health or health issues a storm, but poverty, losing a job, having financial difficulties, that can be a great storm in life, being out of work. And a lot of things can happen in our life to give us trials and tribulations. And when those times come, what do we do when we're in the midst of it? What do we do in the midst of a storm? Well, I'd like you to look at Acts chapter 27. Paul is in a life or death situation. And verse 14. You know, many times people are in life and death situations, but they don't realize it. They're asleep at the wheel. Everything around them is crumbling. And they're in dire need, in dire straits. And yet it seems like they're asleep spiritually. They don't realize what's going on. And someone needs to shake them and wake them up and say, hey, something's going on. And you're going to be sorry if you don't wake up. Well, here we find the Apostle Paul is very well aware of what's going on in his life. But he realizes he's in the center of God's will. And sometimes you can be in the center of God's will and still have these kind of problems. Notice verse number 14, please, of Acts chapter 27 and verse number 14. This is the storm at sea. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but in the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Notice verse 25 and 26. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what it means. We thank you that it contains exceedingly great and precious promises. And we know that you cannot lie. And we ask you, Father, to open our understanding tonight and help us tonight to not only believe the word of God, but to apply it in our lives. And Lord, you know the heart of every person that's here tonight. Some come with heavy hearts. Some come with discouraged hearts. Some come with hopelessness. Some come just looking for a word from thee. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs of everyone tonight. And we will give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. What to do in the midst of a storm? Well, they were too far to turn back. 14 days and nights that boat that Paul was in tossed to and fro. I went fishing. The last time I went deep sea fishing, I got sick. I was so proud of the fact that I had never gotten sick before. It was almost, you know, a bragging point when I went out with my sons. And I said, you know, I never got sick on the sea. But the last time I went, the waves were, I mean, it was up and down. And unfortunately, I had a bite to eat just before we went fishing, Tony. And I spent a good part of an hour regretting the fact that I had that lunch. And it was hard to even be sick on a ship that's going up and down, I'm telling you. It was hit and miss the barrel every time. Excuse me, ladies, but it was a terrible thing. I couldn't wait to get home. And my son Jared was laughing at me the whole time. He says, Dad, look at me, I'm eating a sandwich. And he'd eat a sandwich, and he'd just rubbing it in. And not only that, he went out on the mat, on the front part, and he was going up and down, riding it like a roller coaster, and I'm just holding my stomach, and I'm so, oh, I was so sick. Oh, there's nothing worse than being seasick, that's for sure. But for 14 days, Paul is on this ship as a prisoner, and they're in this great storm, 14 days and 14 nights. And they didn't sleep very much, I'll tell you for sure, and they didn't eat. And all they're wondering is, are we going to survive? Are we going to get through this alive? They're going up. They're going down. They're going backwards. They're going forwards. They're going sideways. They're going every way, fighting this great storm, fighting this great wind. You know, there are times in life when a person wonders, is it ever going to get better? But you know, sometimes God's trying to get our attention in those times. And we would do wise to take some inventory. We would do wise in those times when our life seems to be falling apart. Did you ever buy a piece of clothing and there's a little thread on it? I say, well, I don't think I'll cut it. I don't want to run and get the scissors. I just pull it. What happens? Just pull it. The whole thing comes apart. Sometimes your life comes apart right before you. And I'd like to share with you a few things that I think are important on what to do in the midst of a storm. What should you do if you find yourself in a situation your life is just about coming apart? Number one, I'd like you to look at verse number 18 of Acts chapter 27. You find it? It's right there. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They started throwing things overboard. Notice verse number 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. They got rid of excess baggage, folks. That's what they did. In verse 18 and verse 38, They got rid of everything, and they wanted to make the ship lighter. And what is that? What significance does that mean? You know, when things are not going well in our life, we're really going through it, I think it's time that we do some heart searching. Because God's not far away trying to get our attention. He's very near to us. And we do some heart searching. Sometimes we're worried about things that don't matter. We got to lighten our ship. We got to put our priorities on the things that are really matter, the things that are really important. I've talked to people that were fighting for their life, disease of some kind, and they say, Pastor, you know what? For the first time in my life, I realized for most of my life, I was spending my time and energy on things that really don't matter. And now I'm sick. I have balance. Now I am sick. I realize what's important. What's important is God and my loved ones and staying close to the Lord. And yet some people, they'll spend 60, 70, 80 hours a week at work. And they hardly have no time for the family. And they wonder why they lose everything one day. We need a balance in our life, folks. Yes, sometimes we're worried about things that don't really matter. Perhaps majoring on minor things and minoring on things that should take precedence. So little is given to the important things in life. I'll never forget visiting a man and asking about his teenage daughter. And he's sitting in his easy chair watching television, drinking a beer, really making himself at home. It's his home, I mean. Amen. And I said, nice dog you got there. He says, yeah, my dog's always here, right by my side. Where's your 15-year-old daughter? I don't know. She's out. That man knew where his dog was, but didn't know where his daughter was. I say his priorities are wrong. He ought to not only know where she is, but who she's with, and double check to make sure she's there. But you know, sin blinds us. Sin is selfish. God help us in America. We care more about an animal than a human being. Well, they got rid of some excess baggage. Sometimes we major on things that are really not important, but we really should be throwing them overboard, forgetting about the things that really are not important. I had someone say to me recently this weekend, should I obey God in this one area where I know there are many other areas that God is not pleased with me? And I thought to myself, how stupid. Listen to what you're saying. You're trying to make an excuse to disobey God another time. I said, of course you obey God in that matter. That's one less thing you got to surrender to God on your way back to being a productive, healthy, spiritual Christian. And it was so obvious to me, the thing that he mentioned, if he really had ears to hear, he would laugh at the foolishness of his statement. Should I do this? Yeah. That's like saying, my life is out of control and I'm not serving God. Should I really go to church? Yeah. Yeah. Even though I'm not obeying God, should I really go to church? Yeah. And go to church realizing that you got to straighten up. You got to let God work in your life. Amen. Some people treat God like they do the doctor. They only go when they're sick. I met my dentist recently. We bumped into him at a restaurant. I took Linda out for a bite to eat. And I had to walk past him, and he's looking at me, and he's laughing, and he knows I'm way behind on my schedule. I said, been thinking about you, Frank, you and the taxes. Every year, I think about both of you. And we laughed, and we chatted for a few minutes. But I put it off. Why? I don't like it. But should I obey God in this one area? Yes. Yes, if you ever hope to have God's blessing on your life, you better start with that. Start with what you know is right. And so, doesn't the Bible tell us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside. Get rid of it. What did Paul do? They got rid of excess baggage in the middle of that storm. Sometimes when the storms of life hit us, we need to just get rid of some things that we've been spending too much time worrying about that don't matter a bit. When there are more pressing things, more important. Listen, it's more important that our children love and serve God than it is on whether we should buy a new TV. It's more important that we have some harmony in the home where we're teaching our children discipline and manners and prayer and Bible stories and knowing that God is blessing them than worrying about other things. Get rid of the excess baggage. Amen. In a storm, we have to get rid of some things. Sometimes when the storms of life hit us, God is saying, got to change the priorities. What was down here, you know, left over, put it on the top of the list. Some people, God is at the bottom. I'm talking about born again, saved Christians. They're not growing, and they're not happy. And they wonder why. The reason why is God's at the bottom. He gets all the leftovers. And God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Put me first, God says. Put me first, then I'll bless you. And they wonder why God's not blessing them. The Bible is true. If we're willing to put God first in our life, he will bless us. But if our life is out of whack, we're going through the storm, sometimes we just got to get rid of excess baggage, got to rearrange our priorities. What else did Paul do in the middle of this storm? I like this. Notice verse 21. He got alone and he prayed. His life was in jeopardy. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, where's Paul on his great ship? Don't know, haven't seen him in a while. He's found a quiet place and he's praying to his God. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve. You know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank God for that great promise of prayer in the Bible. You know, when the storms of life come, or even in calm situations, we would do well to spend time alone with God. And that's exactly what Paul did in this situation. 14 days and nights, they're fighting this storm. They're bailing water. They're getting rid of heavy excess stuff, trying to make the boat lighter. You know, when the storms of life come, we need to get alone with God. Oh, we have the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. But how many Christians really know what it means? That hymn was written by somebody who believed in the Sweet Hour of Prayer. That calls me from a world of care. You know, when a real storm comes, an hour is not really much to ask. Some of us spend several hours a day just watching television. And yet God says, I'm trying to get your attention. Yes, in a personal storm, we need to get alone with him. And this was life or death for Paul and everybody on board that ship. Eating was not even thought about. Did you ever have so many problems that you didn't even feel like eating? I mean, your appetite just went away. There are times in life when you're not really saying, God, I'm going to fast, but you're just not interested in food. They were facing harm and loss. They were facing misery and calamity. Sometimes storms come because of our disobedience. God's trying to get our attention. A lot of people get saved that way. I did. God was getting my attention. Boy, did he have it. My life was falling apart at the seams. Everything I trusted in was gone. Nothing to look forward to. God said, hey, remember me, your creator? One that sustains you, gives you air to breathe, gives you strength to get out of bed every day? Me, the one who died for you on the cross, the one you ignore your whole life, I'm still here. I still help. Well, keep your quiet time with God, especially if you're going through it, especially if you're going through a storm. Get alone with God. Yes, the Apostle Paul got alone with God on that ship. And after a long time of being away from everyone, he stands up in the midst of these hundreds of people. And he says, I exhort you now, be of good cheer. No one's going to die that stays on board this ship, because the angel of the Lord stood by me this night and said, be of good courage, it's going to be all right. He wouldn't have got that encouragement if he didn't spend that quiet time with God. God would not have given him that assurance. God would not have sent that angel. Say, Pastor, you believe in angels? I certainly do. Ever seen one? I certainly have not. Not to my knowledge. But my Bible does say that they are around, and be careful to entertain strangers. Might be an angel. But he said, the angel of the Lord. Not any particular angel, but just a messenger of God that communicated to Paul. And it's interesting to me that Paul said, and he said constantly, of whom I belong. You read about Paul. He was constantly saying, I belong to God. I belong to him, of whom I belong and of whom I serve. He constantly said, I serve the Lord and I want you to serve the Lord. All through his life, he kept exhorting people, I belong to the Lord and I serve the Lord and I want you to belong to the Lord. And I want you to serve the Lord. What a great communicator he was. Yes, Paul, the Apostle Paul, got alone with God on that ship, and he is encouraging them. Verse 24, fear not, for thou must be brought before Caesar, the angel said. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul is telling them, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, verse 25, that it shall be even as it was told me. So he's encouraging them, and he's speaking to them, because he had gotten alone with God, and God spoke to him and said, it's going to be all right. You know, sometimes God speaks through the still small voice. You spend that quiet time with him, and then that peace comes over you, and you realize it's going to be all right. I might not know how he's going to do it, but I know it's going to be all right, because I've done my homework. I've prayed. What else do you do in the storm? You get rid of excess baggage. You get alone with God. And verse number 23, you realize as a Christian that he is with you. He is with us. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Yes, he realized the Lord was with him. I believe God is looking for Christians today, they're going to be like Job and say, you know what? No matter what happens to me, I'm going to trust him. I don't understand what's happened to me, but I'm still going to love him. I don't realize what's going on in my life, but I'm going to keep on serving him. I'm going to keep on reading my Bible and keep on praying, and I don't care what the devil throws in my way, I'm going to be faithful to God. You know what? Faith like that just pleases the Lord so much. It's easy to serve God when everything's going well. There's no faith there. But when things are going wrong and you're still saying, I'm not going to I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn back. I'm just going to keep on going until the Lord comes back. I'll tell you, that kind of faith God honors. Yes, he realized the Lord was with him. I'd like you to look at a few verses of talking about that. And let's go to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And no, I'm not going to talk about tithing, so I fooled you there. But it is in Malachi 3:17. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I love that verse. They shall be mine. God knows those that are his. He's always with us, even in the storm. Look at John chapter 17. Is he with you tonight? Is he? He'll never leave you. He's always there. John 17, verse 9 and 10. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them, which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's saying, they belong to me. I pray for them. They belong to me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. They belong to me. Jesus praying. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Find it. For ye are bought with what? A price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. He's bought you. He's paid for you. And you belong to him. Therefore, glorify him in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Last one on this point anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2. Not the last one, but the last one on this point. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me know when you find it. John's got it. I'm getting there. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and some of God's people are even more peculiar than others, I will admit, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that a wonderful truth? That God has called you out of darkness. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God saying, I've called you out of darkness, and you have obtained mercy, and you're a chosen generation. You belong to me, Peter was saying to the Christians of his day. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is saying that to us today. You're a peculiar people, you're a chosen generation, and I have chosen you, and you belong to me. I'll tell you, that's pretty good company, especially that verse number 10. That's great. Well, what else do you do in the midst of the storm? And this is something I wish that I could nail on everybody's house, on the inside and on the outside, if I had enough hammers and enough nails, and if you'd let me. Thank him for everything in the midst of a storm. I'll tell you, to make the devil so mad when he's throwing everything but the kitchen sink at you and you're sitting in your living room with your Bible. And there may be a tear in your eye and your heart might be crushed and you open your mouth and he's anticipating curses and denial. And you open your mouth and say, I love you, Lord. And I trust you. And I don't understand what's going on here. But I'm going to sing tonight to you. And you think of a hymn. Would it be Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sweet hour of prayer, beyond the sunset. Yeah, they just keep coming. You got a long journey in the car, and you're bored. You start singing hymns that come to your mind. Play a game. How long can you keep it going? I'll tell you, it's a great way to travel. But thank Him for all things. In the midst, we forget sometimes what He's done in the past. We're all caught up in the present. We forgot all the times in the past He's helped us. When you're in the midst of the storm, and you've done everything else, you know what to do. Thank Him for everything. Because nothing happens to a Christian by accident. Even old Job, Satan couldn't touch him without divine invitation from God. He says, have you considered my servant Job? I'll let you go so far, and he's going to surprise you. Even Satan couldn't touch him without God's permission. And so in the midst of the storm, thank Him for how God has helped you in the past. Notice verse 35 of Acts chapter 27. Getting back to the story, verse number 35. There is no 35. Is there? Yes, there is. All right, I got the wrong chapter. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Do you get the picture? Paul is gone for hours and hours somewhere in that boat. Everybody's frantic, throwing things overboard, bailing water, and they're ready to go down in the midst of this storm. Paul comes up, gives a sermon on how God's going to spare everybody in that boat, and because the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, and only those are going to perish are the ones that are going to try to get on the lifeboat and make for land. They're going to die. And so he convinced them. He convinced them that everything was going to be all right. And then he says, you haven't eaten in so many days. Get out the bread. He stood before over 200 people on his ship. Gave the blessing, gave out the bread, broke out the bread. He says, you're going to need some meat you haven't eaten. You got to keep your strength up. Sounds like my dear old mother. Got to keep your strength up now. I kind of miss that voice. She's been gone over a year. You know, she's all over that house I live in. I am reminded of her every day. But thank God for all things. Yes, that's what Paul did in the midst of his storm. He gave thanks for the way God had blessed him. Stop and think about how God has blessed you in your past, and it'll help you to bless God even in the midst of a storm. And you know what? It'll give God great pleasure. If you're going through a very difficult time right now, make the devil mad. Start praising God more. Praise Him more, not less. Say, I don't care who hears me. You know, on that boat, Paul didn't care. He said, I don't care who hears me. He gave that speech. He encouraged them. He says, fellas, now it's time to eat. Let's bow our heads in prayer. So many Christians are afraid of what people think about them. So they're letting their light shine. Amen. God give us a generation of Christians that say, I love the Lord, like it or lump it. I hope you like it, but it's not going to change me because I know who I am. Well, you say, I don't care who hears me or who sees me. Lord, I praise you in this storm. So what do? In the midst of a battle, in the midst of a terrible life or death situation as a Christian, Paul gave us a good example. Get rid of excess baggage, take inventory, get alone with God. Realize you are still with the Lord. He is still with you. And praise Him and thank Him. And you'll be surprised how things will get better. And you may learn some interesting things. And God might rearrange your priorities. You know, God is always working on us. All the time. And some of us are still pretty rough and crude. Amen? My dad used to say when I was growing up, "Boy, you are cruising for a bruising." I knew what that meant. That means I'm getting close to getting the daylights beat out of me. I better listen. He said, "Steve, you're cruising for the bruising, the big bruising." You know, God's always working on us. And there may be times of peace and blessings, and then we go in the fire. Why? So that he can burn up the rough edges. He's still working on us. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And he's preparing us all the time through our storms and through our tribulations. Because down here, all we have is faith. One day we won't need it. Because seeing, you don't need faith when you can see something. You know what's interesting to me? That unsaved people, they use for an excuse, I can't trust God because I can't see him. And yet they exercise faith all the time in things they don't see. They'll sit in the chair. They've not inspected it. They just believe it's going to hold them. They don't go around there with their tape measure and check to see if it was glued and if no one's playing a trick on them. Just sit in it. They'll turn on the switch. They know that light's going to go on. It's gone on 1,000 times before. By faith, they'll turn that switch. They'll trust it. They'll get in an airplane and the cockpit doors are shut. They don't know there's a pilot in there or not. They're trusting their life to a total stranger. And yet, they won't trust the God that created them. Amen. You see how foolish faith can be to some people. The devil tricks them and blinds their minds. You can trust God in all times and in all situations. And if you've never been saved, he may be getting your attention for the biggest gift. That is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful tonight, first of all, for Calvary. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you sent down here to live inside of your believers. Constant reminder that we belong to you. And Father, that's something the world cannot take away. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd have your will done in our lives. And maybe there are some tonight going through a great storm. Pray you'd encourage them tonight to just do exactly what was mentioned in Scriptures. Get rid of the excess baggage. Take inventory. Get along with God in their personal life. Come out realizing that they belong to him and that they can praise him for deliverance. And ask for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open